being that if a person was given the death penalty by the Bezdin, one of the Harut Bezdin, so sometimes you have to do Kliya. Sometimes you get clear, not by all the Haruga days. Then it says, the Sala Meglata Alay, Kavati Guran and Bayamahu, Kikila Telekin Sala. So the Kumi says that there's a special Nisra Kura. So the Gemara knows in Sanhedrin that there's a Nisra Kura about Haruga days. It doesn't say explicitly in the Kumi that there's an obligation to do Kura by any other person who dies. So the Gemara has a discussion about that in Sanhedrin, in connection with that mitzvah Kvura, in the middle of Sanhedrin. So the Gemara says maybe we should learn out from Parshas Chayisora that Avraham Avinu is interested in burying his wife. He doesn't just cremate her body. So obviously there's a mitzvah Kvura. So the Gemara says not necessarily. So maybe that was a minute. Maybe you're obligated to do whatever the minute is. So Avraham Avinu did. The minute was to bury. The minute will become to cremate. Maybe then you can cremate. The Gemara says this parasha doesn't necessarily prove the point, but rather the pasuk by Kvura. It says over there by the Haruga Bezin, Kovatik Berena by Yamahu, a double Oshin, and there's a Machlech of Hatanayim where the Dibetar is in the Shem and the Yadim, or Dibetar is in the Shem and the Yadim, and he dies in the Shem of Kvura. If you talk to the other day, how to learn the Sosa, the double Oshin, that it needs to do your name to you. I mean, no, it's a Shilchat Nain, it's not a Chet to Shilchat Nain. It says, so to all year, the Gemara says that we dash in the double ocean kavatik verenu to be mad to even a person who died a natural death, that there is a mitzvah kvura. Even if you should, that's how the Rambam passes, that there is a mitzvah kvura min atera by your mason. The Rambam says, what if a person leaves in his will? A lot of people do like this. Jewish people leave in their will that they don't want to be buried, they want to be cremated. But the Rambam says you're not permitted to live, follow such a will, because it's against the din in the Torah. The Torah is in the Torah, so I think it's Kavatik Berenu. Every so often a Jewish lawyer will call me up that he's the executor of the will. And according to the will, he's obligated to cremate the body. So the din is what it says in the Rambam, that you're not permitted to do that. The obligation of free, even if the person says, Lo tikru l'avu gav. The Gemara, the Rada has a topic about this. The Gemara has a topic, what is the Torah din of free? Is it because of Kavod HaMeisim? It's good because it's covered on Mason, in which case the Mason's Mechel on his covers. He says, let's take Guru over Gaza, I'm Mechel on my covers, so you don't have to bury him. Or is it Mishim covered Abiyas in general? Mishim covered Achayim, so he's not a Balabod. The Mitzvah is not a Balabod. The Mechel on covered Abiyas of all of mankind in general. So he must have lots enough Kaminas. He says, let's take Guru over Gaza. So the Rambam writes that if a person leaves such a will, that he doesn't want to be buried, you don't listen because it's against the din and the terrorists. So how come the Gemara didn't say that? The Gemara knew also that there's a din of Kvura. The Gemara had a shaila, what's the nature of the din? Unless the Gemara thought, that the Lechem Mishnah talked about it. Unless the Gemara thought that Kvura by Shah Meisim is only the Rabbah. The Rambam passes that Kvura by Shah Meisim not only by Harud Yabez, but is a Mishnah and Akhara. So he says there's nothing to clear about it, because we pass in a Mishnah Zeraita, the Lodashi in the time of the Kvura. That the Mishnah applies even when the time for the Mishnah doesn't apply, even when the reading doesn't apply. That's Machlech of Shimon and the Rabban, whether Dashin and Tanya the Kura, or Dashin and Tanya the Kura. So the Din HaTorah only applies when the reason applies. And then you can figure out what the reason is, or do you say no? That the Din has to be observed even when the reason doesn't apply. So let's look there. So the Lachem Mishnah thing says like this. The Rambam understood that the Gemara Shaila, whether Kura is Mishum, Dizyan is Echai, or Dizyan is Anaisi, with an afternoon of whether he's been lipstick in the Merkel on his cover, that's only within the assumption that Kvura by Shah Mason is only the Rabbana. And the Mitzakana is with the Tama Takana introduced into the Nitzacha Takana. And then the Gemara Shaila was, well, what is the Tama Takana? A little funny, we don't know what the Tama is, but we know that the Tama was incorporated into the Takana. We don't know what the Tama is, actually, but it was incorporated into the Nitzacha Takana. Anyway, that's a famous Rambam, that the Rambam says that the Gemara left it sort of as a topic, whether Kvura is Dizyon of the Chai, Dizyon of the Mason. The Rambam says, forget about the Holy Fire, it's against the Din of the Torah. Yeah, even though we talk to like that, that Kvura B'Sham Mason is also there, right? It doesn't mean that it's the same Din. It's two different Dins. There's one Din of Kvura by Harut Yabez, and then there's another Din of Kvura B'Sham Mason. The Mishnah says the Pharisee in Sanhedrin that by all Mason there's Allah, in Rasha, Ace of Tzaddik, you're not permitted to bury a Tzaddik next to a Rasha. And that's why the Beis Din used to have separate butter dvoris. For those who had violated the same chametz, even you're not even allowed to bury a Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah. Not just that we divide all the Jews into two categories, Rishonim and Tzaddikim. We divide them into a million and one categories, if you know what level of religious observance the person was on. You're not permitted to bury a Tzaddik next to another Beimini, you're not permitted to bury a Rosh Hashanah next to a Rosh Hashanah. So the mission says that the Beis Din are two separate cemeteries, Shnei Batik Forest. I'm asking land, one for the Bali Aveir Hamur and one for the Bali Aveir Talim. So the Mari asked the Kasha, why was it enough with two Batik Forest? You should have required four. If you have Kila Seth to Eretz Kenneth and each one is more common than the other one, so why weren't there four, at least four Batik Forest? So the Mari says, the Mari seems to answer that it was Halacha Moshe Nisina. If they had a tradition, that's what it has to be. So you see that that's really in violation of the regular dinam of Tzvura. Based on the normal dinam of Tzvura, you wouldn't be permitted to bury a Rosh Hashanah next to a Rosh Hashanah. And nonetheless, the Niskolim were buried next to the Nisrofim. And the Harogim were buried next to the Nisrofim. In the same case, that's where there's like two different dinam of Tzvura. The one dinam of Tzvura of all Mason, like in today's day, the mitzvah Tzvura by Yisraelim who die a natural death, and then there's another mitzvah Tzvura by the Harugi Bezim. The Gemara has another point of distinction between two. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that the Harugi Beis Din who were buried had to be buried together with the Sayyid. You could never use the same Sayyid twice. When they gave the Anish Sayyid to a person, they gave, let's say, guy, they give him the electric chair. How much does it cost in such an electric chair? $2,000, right? They have to bury the electric chair with the guy. You have to bury the electric chair with the one who got the Nisus Beis Din. We don't give electric chair. We don't give crucifixions either. So we wouldn't have to bury the crucifix. So we would have to bury the Sayyid and the Suda Shabo Nechmat. You can never use the same Suda twice. And the Eben Shemiskobo, the thing with which we accomplish the Nisus Beis Din, has to be buried with the person. The Gemara says, what do you mean? With the person, not machine the orange. The Gemara says, no, Imovit Sustasa should be buried first hour amit of the person. Yeah, this Lucheret, let's say Reuben murdered Shimon, okay, Jack murdered Shimon, not this. James murdered Shimon with a gun. So when you never Harachmanis, he was murdered. So you have to bury Shimon with the gun, with the murder weapon. No, it's not halacha. Any time a person dies, that you have to bury him with the murder weapon. No, that's not halacha. It's a special mitzvah by Harugei Beis Din that you have to bury the person with the Sayish Narazboi and with the Sudish and Nachnachbar and so on. It doesn't apply to the other nations. There are really two different dinam of Tzvura. The mitzvah of Tzvura by Shah Nation, the mitzvah of Tzvura by the Harugei Beis Din. That's why they say the Harambam is like that. The Rambam has Hilchos Sanhedrin, and Hilchos Sanhedrin has all the dinam of the Adi Nisus, has all the dinam of the Imamunis, and he has Parshas and Malchus. And then right after Sanhedrin, he has Hilchos Avelus, because he talks about the dinam of, and the Rambam writes himself, the reason why I put it in this order, beginning of Hilchos Avelus, the reason I put it in this order is because the Torah writes the dinam of coveting for Anamei Amahu. The original Parshas is only written by Rahul Yudhazi. Yes, you couldn't figure out where else to put it. So we put Hilchos Tzvura right after Hilchos Sanhedrin, like a Hemshech after Abi Nisus Beis Din. And then once he talks about Tzvura Sameish, he talks about Kahan and Bing Matame, not Bing Matame, in Hilchos Ozo. And then once he talks about that, the Kahan and Matame Sameish and Malachus design Kraydin. And the reason why design Kraydin, they are permitted and obligated to Bing Matame, is because that's a mitzvah of Avelis. So he writes, that's why he's going to put all of Hilchos Avelis over here, following Hilchos Sanhedrin. It is a logical order for the Rambam. We don't exactly always know what the logic is, but here the Rambam tells you what the logic is.
No,
that's a different thing. It says in that's from the Sefer Hasidim, I think. That when a person is murdered and the blood splattered all over his clothing for the minigas, and instead of burying the person with tachiyah, you bury him the way he is, to be murdered, Rachman Shemaim, that Menach Shemaim, after his daughter should see what a Rachman is that is on the Jewish people, and he should give us a break and see to it that we don't have such murders again. It's a different reason. That's not really a din. That's a big day ha-horum. Rav Soloveitchik once spoke at a midrash, he mentioned about the Bikkei Haharos. He said that, and he told over the story that had happened at that time. The Aguda had a Knesset Agdol. Every couple of years they have a big international convention. So in recent years they have an American Israel. Years ago they used to have in Marienbad or whatever, somewhere in Germany, Austria, Europe, whatever. And recently they have an American Israel. So they had it at some cultural hotel. And there's a hotel had Israeli flag on top of the hotel. They always have Israeli flag on top of the hotel. So the people from the Aguda felt a little uncomfortable about that because apparently they hadn't all fully recognized the Medina yet. This is a long time ago. This is 10 years after Hakamat Hamdina. So they saw some of them felt a little uncomfortable, but how are they going to tell a guy to take down the Israeli flag? That's their tradition. So they told the minister that he should put up flags from all of the countries that the delegates are representing. So they put up the American flag and the French flag and the British flag and South African flag, wherever people came from. So the people came from America, so also the Israeli flag was also okay. So the newspapers, anti-religious newspapers, attacked the Aguda at that time. The British Red was known as a Union Jack, still known as a Union Jack. So they wrote big headlines, a Union Jack hechshiret hakova ha'alavan. The Union Jack gave the approval to the blue and white flag, the Israeli flag, that's hakova ha'alavan. That the Venus itself is no good, but Britain, that's kosher. The British flag that was flying on the boat, that killed the refugees who were running away from the Nazis, and they wouldn't let them come into Eretz Yisrael before the Medina was established. And they murdered Jews. They were so merciless during the Second World War. They didn't want to save them. They didn't save anyone, and they killed them. So that's what they attacked Aguda HaYunin, Jek, Hekshir, Kol HaLavan. So they were talking at that time in the newspapers, and people were giving doshas about what's the significance of the Israeli flag. What role does it play in a Hashkafa Kater? What role does it play? No role. There's not a lot of about the flag. So soon after that, the Mizrahi used to make every year a big convention of Rabbi Soloveitchik always used to speak. So that was right in the heat of this whole discussion that that the Israeli flag, so Rabbi Soloveitchik spoke about what's the Hashkafic significance of the Israeli flag. So he said to him, it reminds him of the Bigvei Haharos. That so much Jewish blood was spilled in the Melchemet HaShefu. At that time, that was the only Jewish war. That was the only war. Since then, many, many wars have been fought, and much more blood has been spilled. But at that time, the Rabbi Soloveitchik spoke, I think the Melchemet HaShefu was the one and only war that they had had in Eretz Yisrael. So he said that so much blood was spilled, so much Jewish blood was spilled, in order to maintain the Israeli flag over all of what was at that time Medina Yisrael. So he said to him, it reminds him of the Bigvei Haharos, that it should be Moreh Rachim Shemayim. So he said, that's how he started off. Yes, there is a sif in Shulchan Aruch that speaks about Israeli flag. So everybody first off, where is Eretz Yisrael? So he said, the end of the Yerideyot, he says that you bury all the normal people in Tachrichim, except that the person was murdered, and then the blood spilled all over his clothing, so the Shulchan Aruch puts in the Sefer Hasidim, that's the sif in Shulchan Aruch. So when I thought from the Sefer Hasidim that you bury the person with his clothes in the Moreh Rachim Shemayim, look what a terrible situation we're in. He said to him, the Israeli flag reminds him of that. So here's a question: when you bury a person, if something is called Gvura, if the Torah says that something is called Gvura, if someone means that it's also Bahanoah, no. If it's not called Gvura, why should it be also Bahanoah? The question is that premise correct? Let's say the Torah says coveting b'renam yamahudet is a chiyuv gvura by all mason. Doesn't necessarily follow that a mason is also b'hanor. The Gemara learns that from a different pasuk that mason also b'hanor. No, sham sham ehed la'ufa says that when Miriam died, batama sham Miriam has to cover sham. It says sham is derived from zera sham from ehed la'ufa. The Gemara doesn't say batama sham has to cover sham. The fact that she was buried, that's an indication that the body is also b'hanor. If it's not also about us, what do you have to bury it for? A baltashkus on the body, you can use it for something. So the Gemara doesn't say that. Maybe because they weren't so convinced that there's a chiyuv gvura by Shah Mason. Maybe it's just that it was minhag of the alma, like the Gemara says over here. Maybe it's only minhag, maybe. But let's say by the Harugi Bezin. By the Harugi Bezin, whether for sure there's a chiyuv gvura there, right? So then it should follow that the Harugi Bezin is not also about us. Without exertion, it should mean that it's also Bano. So that's what they read Taka Gemara like that. It seems to be a Gemara in the last daf in the first paragraph in Erechim. That by other people who die, and they say, Zasamanah. Look at the person who died, it might then create the Yisahanah. Like the Shalanitzel. Shalanitzel, after Shemadinadish, the Gmardin creates the Yisahanah. The Gemara doesn't give the mashal, but the Gemara sounds like it says on the last half in the first parak that the Gmardin of anyone who cried me, the Gmardin creates the Yisahanah. My Nakimini is going to be here. What's the Shalanah Mikhaim? Zasamanah Mikhaim, maybe. So the Gemara says in Afkamina, according to some Gersis in the Rishonim, the Gemara says in Afkamina is going to get to the hair. That Seir HaMeis, there are two Gersis in the Gemara, where the Seir HaMeis is Asman HaMutamana. So we assume the Seir HaMeis is only Asabahanoam, is really Mutabahanoam. Seir HaMeis is Mutabahanoam. Only the Bishar HaMeis is Asabahanoam. Seir HaMeis is Mutabahanoam. But Seir HaMeis of Haluga Bezdin, it sounds to me more, the end of the first second era, and he's also Bano. The Manishtano. And some of that's the answer. When a person dies a natural death, so the death only sets in on the rest of the body. The hair doesn't, the hair keeps on growing after the person is dead. And the hair is a different kind of material. But the Pashto says that the hair is not also Bano. That's how Tosfos says. Tosfos says in Babakam, they are made. There's two uses in the Gemara and Erechim. The Rishonim had two uses. They should have the Rajda there. And that's Gemara. The place of Tadigir said that generally Sarah makes him Smith of Manah, unless it's Nigmadina Lamisra by the Haluga Bezin, then the Sarah makes him Smith of Manah. So obviously, the Gemara is assuming that the Gemara Din, that there's a separate Isahano on Haluga Bezin, a separate Isahano, where does it come from? So maybe it comes from Nigmadin, maybe, actually, on Isahano, I don't know. Or maybe it comes from the fact that there's a Chiyas Kura, a separate Chiyas Kura. Maybe the Chiyas Kura implies that if you have to bury something, obviously it must be Asabana. Otherwise, why did the Rabbanu Shalom tell us to bury it? No, that's because of the covet of the Sefer Torah. You're not allowed to get an oath in the Sefer Torah in a way that it'll be Mevazeh the covet. So again, if you say that there's a mitzvah Kura by all human beings, then it's because of covet HaMeitim, covet HaBeir. And it does not necessarily imply that it's an Isahano. Maybe the Isahano would also, maybe there would be an Isahano when it would be a be going to the maze. Well, let's say it wouldn't be a be going to the maze. Is there an absolute Isahano on a maze? So if you say that the Chiyas Kura applies to all mazes equally, then it doesn't necessarily indicate that there's an Isahano. It's a Mishum Kavod HaMeis, you have to bear it. But if you say that it's only by Harugi Bezin, by other maze, there's no Chiyas Kura there, right? So maybe it means that the Tzaydi is a Tzaka Nisrahanah. So the Gemara says that you have to bury also the Tzudah Shenechnet Bari and the Tzayit Shenerek Bari. So maybe that also implies that that's also Asabano. So that's what some Achreinim have. The Heitev and Hilchashchita. Those of you who learn the other day will come upon it. The Heitev and Hilchashchita talks about somewhere in Europe there was an executioner for the king who had a special tzayit, and whoever was tzayit nitzah l'malchus, they used to chop his head off with his tzayit. And then one fine day, a sheikh decided he wanted to buy this sword from the king, from the executioner. So he used a new sword to kill the Harugei Bez, the Harugei HaMalchus. So the shayla was, are you permitted to use this death weapon, this instrument with which they used to kill people, are you allowed to use that to shef the bane? You're not allowed to use the Tzakhi Shalav Arizara to shef the bane. Tzakhi Shalav Arizara is Asabano. So the Shaila is, this Asabano? Why should it be Asabano? So some Achranim assume that the halacha that you have to bury together with the Harugei Bezin the Suda Shenechnet boy and the Tzai Shenerek boy doesn't only apply to the Harugei Nitzik Bezin, it applies to any Harugei Bezin, even the Malkus, even the Bezin on the Malkus. Not found if a murderer murders someone with a gun, you don't say that the gun has to be buried. But whoever is tried Nitzik, whether the Dini Yisrael or the Dini Bnei Noach or the Dini Malkus, so the instrument with which the Einish Nitzik was given should also be buried. And yet from the fact that it has to be buried, well, it makes it that we're not allowed to get an oath from it, or that we're mevakum mitzvah tzvura. If we're going to use it for shefting, we'll be mevakum mitzvah tzvura. In effect, we'll use it as also b'ano. That's what some achrayim assumed. There was a dispute. Others said, no, the mitzvah tzvura is only by Harugei Bezin. What does it got to do with Harugei Malchus? You don't have the special mitzvah tzvura by Harugei Malchus on the mason. So why should you have the special mitzvah tzvura on the instrument with which they administered they need to come out. But some Pesukim went further, and they wanted to say that even a gun, which was used to murder somebody, is also not allowed to be mishpamish bo. That's in that Pesuk, that you have to bury the Zayat Sheneret by the Sudash Anachem, because you learn out that any murder weapon may not be used to any other purpose. Shadrach and Meshach based on the Second World War. Did not between the Jews and all kinds of Ansanim, so some of the Jews were murdered by strangulation. They were murdered to death by hanging them up on a gallows. So the Shaila was, are you allowed to use those ropes for any purpose? Why should anybody in his right mind want to use those ropes? So some Jews who had survived the war wanted to daven by the Kaisel HaMaravi with using those ropes as a gun. Okay. I wasn't in the war, so I can't appreciate the hadgasha that they had. This is what they wanted. Some people wanted to be murdered at Mishamayim, like Big Day HaHorim. Like the Tzadik Shulchan Aruch, Big Day HaHorim, I'm murdered at Mishamayim, there's a bunch of Shad Rahmanis on us. So some of the Jews that survived the war wanted to institute a Nayaminim that they should use as a guard tool for the Baal Tzilai thing, to daven by the Kaisel HaMaravi, the heavy rope of the gallows. So one of the big Rabbanim in Rabbanut, the one who wrote the Shulchan Aruch from Nevatzer, as a tshuva about this, and he talks about this. The Pashto says that it doesn't make sense to say, and the whole thing is changed. You have to introduce him in order. But the Pashto says the whole thing has no shaykhis. Even this diet that the Talion used to use in order to give the mitzvah hamalchus, the Pashto says that that's mutabano also. That the Pashto is not like that. They hate to quote one opinion. That you're not allowed to use it for shaykhis purposes. The Pashtus is only a special din in Haruge Bezdin. Special din, a chelik of the mitzvot kvura of the Haruge Bezdin is to bury the Harug with the tzayik, with the instrument with which we administer the mitzvot. Pashtus says it doesn't even apply to Haruge Malchus, so it shouldn't apply some to a murder. A murder weapon is always awesome, I know. That's okay. Anyway, this Pashtus, the Gemara says in the middle of Sanhedrin, you can't really prove necessarily from our parasha that all may see each other in Tzvura. You could say that that was a minig. So Avraham Avinu just followed the minig. But halacha l'maaseh, we do pasken like that, that there is an obligation to do Tzvura. We pasken that it's min ha'Torah, like the Rambam pasken, that if he is Tzvura by all nations, it's min ha'Torah. So once you know from that pasken, then you understand that that's what's doing over here. And the Mele, we understand also the other theme in the parasha, that you have to have a separate Kevah Yisrael. That you're not permitted to bury Jews and non-Jews in the same cemetery. You have to have a Hachokim. It's interesting, Avraham Avinu insists that he wants to purchase the Kevah. What does he have to buy it for? So he offered that they'll let him, they'll give him a separate cemetery. First, they offered, we'll let you bury your mate, your wife, and the most ecologic with the Kelkasha Malachim. He says, look, nice knowing you. We worked on many projects together while I was alive, while my wife was alive. But we really are different. The Jews are different than the non-Jews, and he has to have a separate cemetery. But then the Pasuk says, even when they agreed to give him a separate cemetery, he insists that he wants to purchase it. What's the significance of buying the cemetery that it should belong to him? So they'll have a separate cemetery for the Jews and a separate cemetery for the non-Jews. So this is the idea. The Pasuk is spelled out by the Gemara in Perek Yesh Nesan. The Gemara speaks about a Pasuk in Sefer Yoshua. It says when somebody died, and he was buried in a certain Nachla. So the Gemara discusses, well, who's going to get that Nachla? If the Nachla is going to be diverted to somebody else, after he dies, it's going to go to his, he got from his wife. He got a Tayrusha from his wife. He got it out of his wife. If after the husband dies, the Nachla is going to go to his wife's children, not to his children, not to his wife's children from a previous marriage, and he has children from also a different marriage. If the Nachla is going to go to her children and not to his children, so the Gemara has an expression, Nimsa Tzadikova Bekeva Sheini Shaloi. It's going to come out that this righteous Jew, this religious man, is buried in a plot that doesn't belong to him. So the Gemara considers that a big design. I found that the Gemara understood, where does the idea come from? Where does the notion come from? Apparently it comes from this parasha, that Avraham Avinu insisted not only will I not bury my wife in the Sheva HaMelachim, in the royal cemetery place, in the Kavadik, no, the Jews have to be buried separately, because I won't even bury her in a separate burial place unless it belongs to me. He insisted that the Beit HaKvara should belong to him, and he wanted to pay money for it and make a legally binding contract that the B'nai Chais would never take it back. The Yerlon void, that the Moritz HaMachel should always belong to the Jewish people. After the Mechemet Sheshet HaYamim, and the Jews got access to the Moritz HaMachpelah, so there was a big dispute among the Rabbanim, are you permitted to walk into the Moritz HaMachpelah? In order to daven there, a lot of people like to daven in the Moritz HaMachpelah. Years ago, they used to daven in the Moritz HaMachpelah. There was a Machem Yuchad at Tila. What's the Shaila, what are you allowed to go in? Because it was designated as a mosque. The Arabs made it into a mosque. So the deal was, who built the building? The Klal is Eidon HaMosh HaDobash and Shalor. If I have a building that's a cemetery plot or a mausoleum or something, and then an Arab comes in, and he designates it as a mosque. So who me comes up? Who gave the Arab permission to designate it as a mosque? Eidon HaMosh HaDobash and Shalor. So we kick him out, and we say it's not a mosque. And even if we can't kick him out, still Eidon HaMosh HaDobash and Shalor. We're afraid that the whole world is going to stone it, we're going to kick out the Arabs. So we leave him there, but after dinner, it's 800 months, it's not called a mosque. So that was the Shaila. Who built this gigantic building on top of the Moritz HaMachpelah? So most of the Rabbanim followed the opinion of all of the historians that it was built by Jews. It was built by Jews during the period of the Second Temple, I think. And it belonged to the Jewish people, and we never lost our ownership. So the Arabs had no right to designate it as anything. And there was a minority opinion among the Rabbanim that know that the Bechosh is for the possibility that maybe the big structure was built by the Goyim of the Hatzila as a mosque. There is no problem of Eina and the Rosh Hashanah. It belongs to them. They can make it into whatever they want. So it's a mosque. How can you walk into a mosque? You're not allowed to walk through a church of another religion.
First of all, even if the building was built by the Arabs,
One is not permitted to walk into a building that's a church that's designated for a different religion. It represents worse than Avodah Zarah. It represents a hot crush in the whole Torah. They don't believe in the Tariq Mitzvah, I tell you. It's clearly a different religion. Not necessarily Avodah Zarah in the sense they worship the one invisible God that we worship also. But it's in contradiction to everything that our Torah came from. It's clearly a different religion. And we're not permitted to enter a house of worship of any other religion. What's the nature of that Easter? Well, the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah sort of presents it as an Easter of Marisayim. But in the Shulchan Aruch, it's assumed that it's more common than Marisayim. Even if it's no longer Marisayim. Even if it's clear that there's no Marisayim, it's also one.
We have that Baha'i
Temple,
which is like different from the Lord. It's a what? It's like for everybody.
I'm not sure what it stands for. What's the Shita?
The Shita is that it's like the religion of everybody. That you're not worried to it, you
accept upon
yourself,
everybody's people. Not familiar. I don't know. So the Gemara understood L'charev in this parasha that that was the reason why Avraham Avinu insisted on buying it, that he wanted this plot, this area to belong to him, the Yom HaVoyim, that it should always remain in the control, it should always belong to the Jewish people, that it should never turn out that the Tzaddikim who are buried there are buried the Kevesh Einu Shaloi. That's the shadow. What do you mean that it should be always the Yom HaVoyim and the ownership of the Jewish people? But what happened to the principle of Kibush Mohammed? And the land was conquered by the Babylonians after the Churban Bayit Rishon. At the time of Churban Bayit Rishon, now it was conquered by the Romans. So there is an international law. The Gemara has in Yitzhak Daf Lama says there is an international principle of Kibush Mechama. Whenever one nation conquers the other, whether Goyim are conquering Jews, or Jews are conquering Goyim, or Goyim are conquering other Goyishan nations. So the Gemara learns that from Sukkim that there is an international principle of Kibush Mechama. So we did lose our ownership over the Moritz HaMachpelah. So what is the Gemara talking about? How do we understand that that's the meaning of the parasha over here? So apparently the Chazal understood that Kiddush Mochama applies to all countries in the world, except for Eretz Yisrael. As we mentioned a few weeks ago, the Chazal said that that's what the Shavuah is all about. HaKadosh Baruch already gave Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu, and he said, Kum Hisalach Ba'aretz, 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 and the Gemara understands that that means not as a promise, I will give you Eretz Yisrael in the distribution. No, walk around Eretz Yisrael, and you will thereby be kind of the land. By walking around, that was the Kinyan Chazaka. One time I held that that was the Kinyan Chazaka, and the other time I held no, there was no need for a Kinyan Chazaka. But Eretz Yisrael Mechazaka is Kinyan, I was saying the Meretz Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu already acquired the ownership of Eretz Yisrael at the time that Hashem told him, Kul Mishal Rosh, Kul Rosh, Kul Rosh, Kul Rosh, Kul Rosh, Kul Rosh, So why do I have to buy anything later? Why do I have to buy anything later? Just like today. He came in before 1948, so the Jewish agency was buying up areas in Eretz Yisrael, still buying up places in Hebron. Still buying near Atika, and the Muslim quarters. What do they keep on buying for? But they can prove that these houses belong to Jews. They have the mezuzahs on them. In Hebron, a lot of the Arab houses are in the Muslim quarter, what they call the Muslim quarter. A lot of the houses have mezuzahs. It's not even said it belongs to a Jew. Just 50 years ago, 60 years ago, belonged to a Jew. The answer is that they're not interested in this thing. They may as well do it in a peaceful fashion. So Avraham Avinu didn't want to fight with the guy. He wanted to make sure for sure. That it was for sure, for sure. So that's why he said he wanted to buy. Yeah. So that's what the Chazon Ish points out, that even though Eretz Yisrael was already given to Avraham Avinu from the time that he walked around the borders, nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps on taking a shvuah. He's going to give Eretz Yisrael to his descendants. He takes the Shavuah to Avraham and to Yitzchak and to Yaakov. What is the meaning of the Shavuah? He already gave him Eretz Yisrael. What? He swore that he gave him Eretz Yisrael. So the meaning of the Shavuah is that Eretz Yisrael will always remain in Jewish ownership. That Kibush Mochama only applies to everything else except for Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael will always belong to the Jewish people. So that's why Avraham Avinu was interested in making it clear to the Bnei Kay that this is going to be a kevesh u'shalom, that it shouldn't be nimso or tzadik kovet be kevesh ein u'shalom. That's why he wanted the davke to buy it and to make it, to have it approved by the city council. Speak to the Zikna Ria, they should all realize that this absolutely belongs to him.
Just to be called my Kishon, or Shalom Kishon. And you have got the name of the Kishon,
Right, and he must give it to Gushi, because the Gushi came about in the days of the Shulba Nun, I gave Kibush for Kilo. So the Rambam explains in Beit Hakir that once the Kibush was undone, so the whole Gushi was undone. But all the years from the days of Avraham Avinu to the days of the Yeshua ben Nun, the Kibush for Kilo, all along it always belonged to the Jewish people. It just didn't have Kibushi. And then Yeshua ben Nun endowed with a new aspect of Kedusha Torah. So that was his battle later. But what was there from before, the ownership of Eretz Yisrael, that was retained. That remained. That was not his battle. What was changed over here? You ask the question, what was the significance of Avraham Avinu buying the Moros HaMachpelah? Everything already belongs to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him it belongs to him. So the Pasha Pshat, he just didn't want to fight with him like today. The Jewish agency was buying up areas, and now they're buying places in Hebron and in Yerushalayim, even though they can prove with documents that it belongs to the Jews, they want to make them happy and buy it. The Israel Chassam Sefer has a comment on Rashi later in Chumash. When Yaakov Avinu is about to die, and he requests of his son Yosef that he should make sure that he buries him in Eretz Yisrael, shouldn't allow him to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So he has to add on, Mani Bevoi Nitabda Nesal, I Rochel, I know, Rashi quotes in the Chazal, I know that you may harbor a grudge against me, that I wasn't mechabed your mother properly. And she died, I didn't bother to bury him, to bury her in the Moros HaMachpelah, and I buried her on the road. Mani Bevoi Nitabda Nesal, I Rochel, and I buried her there on the road. And I know by Neil Adair, Rashi quotes in the Medes, that Yesh Belukhola, you may have Tarumas against me, why I didn't bury her in the Moros HaMachpelah. So Yaakov Avinu tells his son Yosef, you should know that that was Ati Adibra, but his brother told me to bury her there, so that sometime in the future, after the Chodim Bayit Rishon, namely, when the Esau will be traveling to Golgo, to go into Golgo, so go on his highway, and Rachel will see them passing by, so Rachel will be Mavak Abanel. That's what Rashi quotes in the Chazal. So Rashi uses, Rashi quotes in the Medes, the Lashon, I know that you may have tarumas against me, but I didn't bother to bury your mother in Eretz Yisrael. אני בגוי מפדן, I was returning back from Chutzlort, מייטה עליי רוחל, ועוד כברת ארץ לא רואה את רוסו, and I buried her there in Chutzlort, I didn't bother to bury her in Eretz Yisrael. What do you mean Chutzlort? That's not that Chutzlort. Kever Rochel is in Chutzlort. The different ideas where they think Kever Rochel is, but nobody thinks that it's in Chutzlort. A lot of the professors think that it's not really Kever Rochel. They agree with the Arab, that there's some Arab woman buried there. But wherever Kever Rochel is, it's in Eretz Yisrael. So what does Rashi say in the name of Chazal? That Kever Rochel is in Chutzlort. But the Chassam Sofer suggests that maybe the significance of buying, the significance of purchasing Hebron was that although all of Eretz Yisrael belonged to Avraham Avinu, but it didn't really have that Pesach HaShiva sort of a Kedusha to Eretz Yisrael until Avraham Avinu bought Hebron. So that was the first area that was considered that this is Kaddish. It's not the kind of Miskaddish that we talk of. The Kibish Vechilus is Miskaddish Eretz Yisrael. It's a different kind of a Miskaddish. The Mitzvah Hatzuri Baruch. What exactly he means, I'm not sure. But something he suggests that the Hebron and then later the Shechem, and Yaakov Avinu purchased Shechem, that these two belong to the Jewish people more so than the rest of Eretz Yisrael, and these were considered more Eretz Yisrael, more Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. So the rest of Eretz Yisrael in the days of the others was treated in a certain sense like Kutzlot. Like if a person owns, let's say there's a Jew who owns the state of Minnesota, that becomes Eretz Yisrael, Minnesota Kutzlot. So Avraham Avinu owned Eretz Yisrael, but it wasn't the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. When he bought the special Halakim, the special Jewish purpose, he bought Hebron and Yankee bought Shechem, so those areas were endowed with Kedushas Eretz. And the rest of Eretz Yisrael was in Jewish ownership, but it wasn't considered Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Chassam Sofer suggests, to try to understand what Rashi is writing at. That Rashi says that Yankee Avinu gives it, it's not close to Yosef, why he buried his mother in Chutzlort. What do you mean? Where did he bury her in Chutzlort? So the Rachel is in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe in the days of the others, that was the only area that was considered Kaddish, the Kedusha Sa'aretz. Those areas within Eretz Yisrael that they had purchased. The Medrash points out that there were three areas that the Tanakh writes exclusively that the Jewish people paid for, not just that they conquered, they paid for them. Avraham Avinu paid for the middle of Hebron, and Yankee paid for Shechem, and later David HaMelech paid for Goren HaRabna HaYerushi, the Makom HaMikdash, was purchased. So the Medrash says, oh, these three areas we're going to never have any kindness against them. Yerushalayim, and Hebron, and Shechem, we can never have any kindness. We have a Deferish document that everybody gives to the Bible, so the Deferish that we bought these areas. So what is their, what are they deviating now? That's the problem. They don't believe in the Tanakh. Years ago, the Jewish representative to the United Nations was far from being a religious Jew, but he used to come with the Tanakh, and he used to say, our plan to Eretz Yisrael is the Tanakh, and he would read from the Tanakh in the United Nations. In the very beginning, right after Thomas Amdina. He was not religious at all, but he would read from the Tanakh. So they should do now also, instead of beating around the bush. They should always say the first step should be going to the Tanakh, Hebron belongs to the Jewish people. And we never sold it, and we never relinquished ownership. And it's that. But as well to say that this is not subject to Kiddush Mochama. So the claim to Eretz Yisrael is not based on the United Nations with the British mandate and whatever. That's all beating around the bush. The claim to Eretz Yisrael is the Tanakh. And the claim to Hebron and the claim to Yerushalayim and Shechem is according to the Medrash, that's the strongest. Stronger than the rest of Eretz Yisrael, because the others bought it, and they never relinquished it. It was purchased, they never relinquished their ownership. The Mishnah is referred in the second parak in Brachah, to the first parak in Brachah, Misha Meitha Muta Lefana. And Oinen is called Misha Meitha Muta Lefana. They're not exactly the same. And Oinen, Zelachud, that even after this, it didn't, by a chatzit, the only memento, the chatzit says you're not permitted to eat Mazasheni in a state of Aninus. And the Gemara says that Aaron HaKoin was down at Kavachayim, if Maisa HaKal may not be eaten in a state of Aninus, but certainly more so for Bonin, which are Chamurim, certainly not permitted to be eaten in a state of Aninus. When Moshe Rabbeinu complained to Aaron, Madu Allah Yachalta Mefachatot in Kana Kodesh, and who was Zamal HaKodesh Pnimo, why did they burn? The Chachis was sort of straight up. So Aaron told him this Kalachayimah, that if we're not permitted to eat Maizu Sheni Baninus, we're certainly not permitted to eat Kachin Baninus. And then Moshe Rabbeinu was masking that the Kalachayimah is correct, but he darshan better than him. Aaron had a better insight into the Torah Shavuot, and that one occasion he had a better insight and Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's a din of aninus. That even applies after the kvura. The Gemara says the perishim drop. Let's say somebody dies 9 o'clock in the morning, and the kvura is 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then the person maintains the status of aninus till the end of the day and even the night following. The Gemara says it is true, but aninus lila following the aninus yom, is that the raisa or is that the rabbanan? But aninus lila is the raisa of the rabbanan. But the din of aninus, that he's also the kachin, he's also the maifashenin, he's also the makru kabbanah, but the atoyin is not permitted to be mishabash, unless he's a kangaroo, he's makru kabbanah. But if he's playing hedyot, he's in a makru kabbanah, he's not permitted to be makru kabbanah. That applies even after the shvura. And according to some opinions, even when the night after the shvura. But this is a different halacha. Misha made to Musa Lafana. That's what Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say whenever he would learn that topic. Misha made to Yisalon Brochus a lot, and he had your son. His father's name is Moshe Ben Chaim. He said he ought to learn Mishnayos. That began, the name of the parish began with Mem Shin Hei Beis Nun Chaim, Moshe Ben Chaim. So very often he would learn Mishnayos and Mutar Lefanos. He would learn Megillah Nitzris, Meimah Tatonis Hashma, easy things. But whenever he would talk about Mishnayos and Mutar Lefanos, every year he would point out that people make a mistake because in Yerodeya, on the top of the page, it says Hilchas Aninus, and has these things. And Yerodeya doesn't say that the Onan is not allowed to eat Ma'at Hashemi. We don't have any Ma'at Hashem. It doesn't say he's not allowed to be Kabbalah. It doesn't say he's not allowed to be Ma'at Kabbalah. It gives at the end of Aninus that an Oiv is Manazer, that the Oinim is not permitted to daven, he's not permitted to say Krishna, he's not permitted to perform any mitzvahs, he's not permitted to eat Basil Yayin, he's not permitted to be Mace of the Yechel, he's not permitted to eat, he should eat the Bayi Sachera, or the Nafitza, and so on, all the Dinim. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say that that's a little bit a misnomer when it says in Yeruday Hilchos Aninus. It's really not correct. That's a kitzur lashon. It's really a lashon mushal. You should really call it hilchos mishamei temutal lefanav. So there's two different dinim. Mishamei temutal lefanav, that he's not allowed to eat pasta v'yayin, he's not allowed to do mitzvahs. Those dinim terminate right after the kvura. He's no longer mishamei temutal lefanav. But the halachas of aninus does continue till the end of the day, and even through the night. And according to some, even the aninus lila is eraisa, and even if he passed aninus lila be rabbana, but still, it's no longer mei temutal lefanav. So they're really two different dinim. So the Gemara points out that this whole expression, Misha Neis and Musa Lefana, of that whole term, is based on the pasuk that appears in today's Sedra. The Ekra Meisi Milfana. What do you mean Ekra Meisi Milfana? The Meisi is not in front of Avram Avinu. It tells that B'nai Chais in Hebron, Gevra Toshim and Atamon, you know the opposite. The Ekra Meisi Milfana. The Meisi is not Lefana. So the Gemara says, you see from this passage that that's the melitza that you use. The expression that one uses is, when it's mutal olav lekavra, it's considered as if the mace is mutal lefanav, and it's a bizayin amei, so you should go have basa v'yayin. You know, the mace is, let's say, in a different city. But since the person in this city is the one who is obligated to arrange for the tvura, for the burial, so it's considered as if the mace is in front of him and he's staring the mace in the eyes. And it's a desire and a that he should go perform this with, he should go have a look, he has to have a finicish sandwich, but you can't have both of the yayin. That's not. You can't have both of the yayin, and you can't eat mace of the yayin. Mace of the yayin means to eat a whole meal. To eat till the half of the sarasa. You can eat a little bit before the kvur, but you can't eat too much. That's included in mace of the yayin. So that whole concept, that whole not just a melitza terminology, it's a concept that calls much and mutal all of the kavroi, it's kilafana zami, that's based on the passage in today's study. The ekra is mason milafanai. Several Rishonim points out over here, why was it so important that he should speak to the whole B'nai Chait? When one person owns real estate and I want to buy it, so let me speak to everyone, our people. Would I have to go speak to everybody? So they say no, that let's say I want to buy the house across the street. I want to convert it into a cemetery. If you buy the house, I don't need the permission from all the neighbors. But if you convert it to a cemetery in the middle of the city, there is zoning rules. You're not going to make a cemetery in the middle of the city. It's just like you can't make a slaughterhouse in the middle of the city. The people are not going to be too thrilled about having the blood all over the place with the chickens running around in the sun. You can't make a zoo in the middle of the city. You can't make a park. You have to have permission. So that's why he had to speak to the zoning board of the municipality, and that's why he speaks to the whole B'nai Chait. That's what the Rishonim said. That's the decent thing, that's the proper thing. You have rights and privileges. If your own hero says you have rights and privileges, but you have no right to be mazik to other people. I can't make a cemetery right next to your house. Not only if you're a client, you're not a client. normal people are not happy of how they're being next door neighbors, the dead mason. You don't want to have them down the block either. So you have to have special permission to go along with them. You understand why Yavam Avinu wanted to acquire ownership of the Moritz HaMachpel. That it shouldn't be Nimsa Tzadikov of the Kevish and Shalagu. What did he have to pay the money for? If they were, if Efron Achitu was prepared to give it to him for nothing, and he would make a legally binding contract that it would belong to him with every day, forever and ever, Adiyat HaGret. So why did he insist on paying money? So that's why the Mitzvah Svarim points out that you see from this parsha, let's say somebody sends you an Essex Merit Yisrael. Some yeshiva sends you an Essex Merit Yisrael. Because in the course of the year, you always donate a lot of money to that yeshiva. So they give you a matana. So it's not proper. It's shalachem. You didn't shalachem the first 2 days of the circuit. It's shalachem. They gave you the matana. But still, it's not proper to perform a mitzvah that you're like, the Gemara has a lotion, it's a chaytet mitzvah min ashuk. Like a person who's grabbing a mitzvah min ashuk. That's not proper. It's always preferable to work hard on the mitzvah. In order to obtain a mitzvah. And the more the fum tairag, and the more effort and energy a person puts into performing the mitzvah, getting the mitzvah done, so the more the hashivas of the mitzvah will be in him. So if the person were to get this esrim in the mail, he should give him a donation. However much he would have paid New York in order to buy such an esrim, he should give such a donation to the yeshiva now in order to buy the esrim. Like esrim atiti over here. So he shouldn't just take it as a gift. From all the places in Eretz Yisrael, why did Avraham Avinu choose Dafke Hezron? Why did he pick some other place? Yeah, in Shekhanah, there is a deal like that. If a person died in Boston, so you bury him in Boston, you don't bury him in New York, because it's the going to the other nation who are buried there. There are other Jews who are buried there. So why did you skip over the cemetery in Boston, you took him to Charleston, South Carolina? Why did you take him to New Haven? So you mivaza the other nation, but if there are no Jews buried anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, so why does Avraham? So she died in Hebron. And the only Goyish cemetery is there. And they also in Eretz Chatorenu. So why did he decide he wants to bury Dafke in Hebron? He got buried somewhere. But that's where it was. So the Zohar says no. The Zohar says that at the very strange Zohar, I think, at the time of the Akedah, when the Malach told Avraham Avinu, stop everything, don't shech your son. So the prophet says that Avraham Avinu turned around and he noticed that there was an ayal nechaz v'srachu kanel. He saw Avraham Avinu by Avinu, ayal acha nechaz v'srachu kanel. He noticed there was an ayal. So he took the ayal in his matzah of it as a carbon oil. So the Zohar has a comment on that passage. That the prophet's reading of the prophet sounds like it was caught in the bush. Ayal acha nechaz v'srachu kanel. The ayal was caught in the bush. He just walked over and he took it. So the Zohar says, not so simple. Where was the Akedah? Was in on the Makom HaMikdash. So the Zohar claims that the isle started to run away, so Avraham was chasing after it. The isle ran faster, and Avraham was running faster. Avraham was an old man, no. 137 years old. No. Rashi made the calculation that Yitzchak was born when Avraham Avinu was 100 years old. Yitzchak was 37 years old. So he was a very old man, 137 years old. So the Zohar says something very startling, that the Ayil ran all the way to Hebron, to Moritz HaMachpel. That's quite a fear. From the Har Maria to Hebron. How long does it take? It takes a half an hour. No, it takes 45 minutes by bus. So the Zohar says that the Ayil was running, and Har Maria was chasing after it, and he finally caught it, and then he brought the car. So that's when he found out the secret about the Moritz HaMachpel. When he was chasing after the style, he realized that the Kever of Gan Eden, the Pesach of Gan Eden, the Pesach of Gan Eden, is in Hebron. And that's what he desired very much, to bury his wife by the Pesach of Gan Eden. And the $400, the $400,000 that he gave Ephron was really a cheap. Oh, that's fair. So, 400 Abimelech shekel kesef that he gave to Ephron Achiti was nothing compared to what it was really worth. Adrabah, there's a problem of I know over here. And the Pesach Machumish discussed it, Zohar. If I know that the house that you have has uranium buried in the ground, and you don't know about it, or I know that it has gold buried in the ground, so I want to buy the house for you for a regular $300,000 or $500,000, whatever, and then it's going to be worth billions of dollars later on. So I'm allowed to fool you into believing that you're just selling you a plain house, and then after I make an agreement, sign, seal, deliver, then I make a fortune on the house. It's like Mamashe, no. But why was Avraham Avinu permitted to cheat that throne over here? He tells that throne, I'm going to pay kesef mole, going to pay more than he expected, he's going to give him cash, he's not going to make a check. It didn't compare to the value. The true value was there was 2 kushels and 8 over there. It should have been worth more. But it gives different answers, I think. I think in the first one, Thomas discussed. Maybe one suggestion might possibly be that we had a few times in the name of the Nesivis. So how do you determine Shivri Chafotzin? By Kama Hushav Alim Kamashuk. Both the market and both those mine. How much would it sell for on the marketplace? It's something that the Nesivis writes in several that he has in a few places in his poem. If something has special sentimental value to me, but to other people, they're not interested in that value. This is the old Nesivis and it's seated that my Elta Zaidi used to dabble from. And it's all torn. And if you sell it on the marketplace, people wouldn't even give a dime. Who wants an old torn up city? You can go to a bar mitzvah and get a sitter for nothing. Go to a wedding, just to get a better sitter. Why should anybody buy this for 10 cents even? The Tamil showing them a little bit of is nothing. But just because it has sentimental value to me, and then a Ghana comes and he destroys it, a Mazik or a Ghana comes and he steals it or destroys it, he doesn't have to pay me more than Tamil who shovel into Bashu, even though it's so precious to me. So the same over here, the Pashkus is, Afilu et Avraham Avinu will tell Ephron Achiti, I want you to know that this is Tikhush Organate. It would probably would not mean too much to him, probably wouldn't mean too much to anybody else in the whole wide world at that time. The only one who was interested in Tikhush Organate was Avraham Avinu. So Mr. Omer, strictly speaking, halachically speaking, in fact, it didn't have any more Shavuot. Just because it happened to be Tikhush Organate, because if you can't make money on that Shavuot, it's not Shavuot in Mashuot, so that doesn't matter. So the Zohar claims that that's when Avraham Avinu became aware of the fact that there's something special over here. But this place was the Tikhush Shel Gan Eden. It's interesting. He knew that it was Tikhush Shel Gan Eden, and he lived in Hebron a good part of his life. And nonetheless, the prophet says that he lived in. Rashi and Lesley said in Parshas Vayera, Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Yutet, comments on the Pasuk Vayera Avram Be'eretz Plishtim Yamim Rabim. So what does it mean Yamim Rabim? Merubim Mishal Hebron. Hebron, he only lived 22 years, and Eretz Plishtim, he lived 26 years. He Moshe Pirashti Lamaila. But the man already knows that this is Tikhush Shel Gan Eden, and that's why he wants to buy Marat HaMachpelah Beit HaKvoris, and that's why he lived there for 22 years in Hebron, and he loved it so much. And Hebron till the end, but then he moves away, and he moves to Eretz Plishtim for 26 years. And what happened to the Tikhush Shel Gan Eden? Sadly, it's not so easy to live off Tikhush Shel Gan Eden for all of your life. Probably crisis. I have an acquaintance who lives in the old city near Atika. So this woman tells me that her husband goes to the Beit Medrash to learn, and then sometimes she's all by herself and she starts to play a card. She has nothing to do with that. She has no television. What, she's going to watch television there? And she looks out the window and she sees the paper. I'm lovely with the pizza, thank you. So she says when she starts playing cards, also, she looks out the window and she gets scared. What am I playing cards in front of the paper? I'm lovely. It's a frightening feeling. So some Avraham Avinu also. Could be that part, because Gan Eden is a nice place to be buried. But to live there for 22 years is some of very taxing. So the Pasuk, Rashi interprets the Pasuk based on the Medrash that he lived more than the 22 years of time that he lived in Hebron, he spent more time living in other places. that he didn't really feel so comfortable living in Tikva Shel Gan Eden forever. It's an interesting phenomenon. In Shulchan Aruch, in the end of Yeridah, they have the dinim of Avelah, so it says that when there's a funeral, it's a mitzvah to recite a hesed, to say a little Yuvay Kovet for the mate, whether it's a man or it's a woman. So the Mepharshim on the other day, like, what is the makar for that din that you have to do the mitzvah to say a hesed even if it's a woman? So they quote the makar is on Gemara, that the Gemara says that when the daughter-in-law of a certain Talmud Chacham died, that they had the hesed in shul. And the Gemara says, you're not allowed to use the shul for any other purposes, for secular purposes, only for divrei Torah, divrei tefillah. Or the Gemara says that it's tzorchei rabin, the hesed shel rabin, that the Talmud Chacham died, or in this case, the daughter-in-law of the Talmud Chacham died, and a lot of people were going to come to the hesed, so they needed a big place, and the normal place that they would have the hesed wouldn't be big enough, so that's why they had it in shul. So the lady on the Farshim on the other day don't understand why they had to quote a Gemara. Why didn't they simply quote the Pasuk Chum? She said, Ayyab Avam Lispad Lusara. So let's quote it. It says that he delivered a hesed on his wife. So that means the husband is different. The husband has a chiyuv to be mechaber his wife. The husband has to be mechaber his wife by delivering a hesed. But it's not a husband if it's a rabbi. So that's the question. How do you know that one delivers a hesed for a woman who died? It's like an omokrif in a Pasuk. The Pasuk is only a husband. So that's what they had to quote the Gemara. Anyway, that's the din of Shulchan Aruch, that one delivers a hesed in honor of a nitzah, even if the nitzah happens to be a woman. Whichever is the more correct mocker, that's the din of Shulchan Aruch. I don't know. In case anyone might make a mistake and think that there should be a difference, that there's more of a covered up reader that's due to men than to women, so the Shulchan Aruch specifies that there's not. There's the same degree of covered up here. It's due to women as it's due to men. The middle of today's Seder speaks about the Shidduch. And the Gemara, the Medrash that Rashi quotes, points out that it's written with such an Arichas Dvarim, there's so many halachas that are just learned out from a Avod, or from a Yud, or from a Hay, or from a Mashmoyt, or a Pasuk. And here, everything is Ibbet Gechazit. The Medrash indicates that the Tichat HaAvos is more covered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the Torah HaBonim. What do you mean the Torah HaBonim? We made up the Torah. We didn't make up the Torah. Adarabe, the Baruch Hu's Torah. And the Tichat HaAvos is their Shmuzim. It's their Tichat Kulim. So that's what the Medrash is driving at. Eitz HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more covered than the proper Tichat Kulim of the tzaddikim, of the Avos, and of the Eved, Eliezer, Eved Avram, more chavis to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the dinim of the children. In other words, how to act like a mensch, how to deal with other people, how to deal with Jews, how to deal with non-Jews, and what to look for in the Shidduch, what to be careful about. He makes his Eved swear that he's not going to let his son marry the wrong girl. He makes his Eved swear, don't allow my son to leave Eretz Yisrael. A lot of times, the boy gets married, and he just falls in love with a girl, And then he loses his religious observance, so he moves away. He used to live in New York, he used to live in the Mekhanim Taktoshim, near Yeshivas, near Tamir Chacham, whatever, and then because he fell in love with himself, marriage owner, he's going to go into the family business, no Yeshivas, no shuls, no Sufet Torah, no library. He's going to give up the whole Yiddishkeit just because he fell in love with the girl. So Chacham Avinu was concerned about this, that he was a good father. And he makes his Eliezer Eved Avraham, makes the Eved swear with an Akita Chayfet, the most possible Shuvah Hamura in the world. A Shuvah and Akita Chayfet, then he's going to make sure he gets the right Shidduch. Or takes the right Shidduch. He should go to him, Allah, to Bar Malad, to Taylor. He has to get from his family. So the Drosha Saran has a famous essay about this. And what was so developing about his family? What was their Yichud? So they were Rabbi Abba Rizar. That was their Yichud. They were Rabbi Abba Rizar. They were always Samidim. These were all Ramavina Samidim. They were all Truman. They were all learning. They were all davening every day, three times a day. But he doesn't want a Shidduch from his family. He wants a Shidduch from his family. The Avdi Avad is all. What kind of Yichus is that? So the Iran explains that the main thing in that Shidduch is are the Midas. The Midas HaKesher, that's how Eliezer tests the girl to see if she's good for a Yitzchak. To see if she would be willing in marriage. The main thing is you have to compromise. Each one has a different style of living. No two people live the same, and they have to know that they have to compromise in their style of living in order to have shalom bayit. So if the girl has chesed, if the boy and the girl both have minas ha-chesed, so then they'll be kind to each other and they'll be able to live in peace and harmony together, be able to blend in their personality. So the main thing is that each has chesed. So Iran and his rushes assume that this goes to Yerusha in the genes. I think the scientists of the world assume that it doesn't go to Yerusha, but the Iran assumes that it does. So the Gemara makes such a statement that the name is Rahman by Shonim Gomel Chasodim. Means that these meetings of Rahman by Shonim Gomel Chasodim are in the genes of the Bnei Yisrael. It goes in the genes. And the Gemara and the Shulchan Ramon and Shulchan Aruch have an Ezra right side to their task. And if you have a person who doesn't seem to have these three meters of Rahman by Shonim, and Mila Kassar, and you have to be cautious, maybe he's not Jewish. You have to be cautious not to marry him and not to marry his children. Maybe the man is not Jewish because he's lacking these meters. So the Ran says that the Hashkafis and Hashkafis and Deyis do not go in the genes. That depends on what the person thinks in his mind. The father can be an apikoros and the children can be maminim. So the fact that Avraham Avinu's family back in the Al Tehain were all of the Avodah Zarah, that didn't bother Avraham Avinu. Because the girl is going to come to Eretz Yisrael, she's going to be living in a Jewish community. She's not going to be living there by the Avodah Zarah. So that didn't bother him, because if the girl has the proper hashkafas and the proper day, so then it would be a good shirah for you, because he didn't want to take from the Bnei Ta'aret, even if they would be religious, and have the proper hashkafas and the proper day, it's because he was concerned that they wouldn't have the proper meeting. Best thing is to look for both, to look for day and for meeting. But if you have to compromise on one or the other, so then Ron claims that you compromise on the issue of the dais, of the hashkafas, not of the wife, but of the in-laws. But don't compromise on the meeting. So if the in-laws have bad meters, then you have to be concerned that these will be passed on, these traits will be passed on in the gene. That's his interpretation of this whole story of the shidduch. Basis in the beginning of Ksubis quotes a medrash that has a comment on the pasuk by Rofa at Rizkova, Yom Rilo, on Kaseno Atayili Alfi Rezovon, Perik Kov Dalet in Pasuk Sama. So the Pasuk Pshat is that you read the whole pasuk together, by Rofa at Rizkova, Yom Rilo, and the blessing that they gave their sister was, Achaseno Atayili Alfi Rezovon, Yira Zarek Eshar Soinov, at the end of the pasuk, is spelling out what the bracha was that was mentioned in the beginning of the pasuk. The basis in the beginning of Ksubis, quotes Braisa, he told me to quote this on the Masechet Kala, that the Tanoim read the pasuk differently. By Rochas Rizko semicolon, by Yom Rilo is a different thing. They gave her a personal blessing, Achaseno Atayili Alfi Rova, etc. But the beginning of the pasuk, by Rochas Rizko, means that they blessed HaKadosh Baruch Hu in connection with Rizko Shidduch. By Rochas Rizko, by Rochas Al Rizko. They recited Birchas Eishan. You can't recite Birchas Nisuin. The lotion of the medrash is Mikana Birchas Chastanim in Atah. Birchas Chastanim means Birchas Nisuin. Because that's a little bit loud after, but it really means is Mikana Birchas Eishan in Atah. That they recited the Birchas Eishan because Eliezer was assumed to be the Shliach Lekidushin over here. And he was Mikadesh Ritzke before she even met her husband. When she met her husband later, that's when they did the Nisuin. But the Eishan was already done now. In fact, there is a medrash that says the Torah Shlema quotes such a medrash. Why did he take Aftarad Mali with Mali Adona? Why did he take 10 camels in order to have 10 men? Why did he need 10 men in order to have a minion to recite Birchas Eruvin? But Adon, the Gemara doesn't say, the Gemara just says Birchas Nisuin needs Aftarah. Pashtus Birchas Eruvin does not need Aftarah. So Nebuchadnezzar says, well, Hatkila, we try to have Aftarah, a minion, even for Birchas Eruvin. If there's any slight shatat chas, so then the achrayim on the Ebenezer say that you make them on that. It's just lachatchila. People are embarrassed, or for whatever reason, they don't want to have a minion, it's mishkisins. But for the birchas nisuin, that's l'ikuvah. For the birchas nisuin, if you don't have a minion, you just don't recite the birchas nisuin. So the medrash assumes that they really recited birchas erisin over here. That's a pella. What kind of birchas erisin? The Gemara says in brachas, Ashad Nesad Verla, where the ones who are mistaken all of the brachas, you steal it. So who gave them that fitter that they're going to know what the Birchas Eruvin is over here? What kind of Birchas Eruvin? Some Achayim come up with an idea. Mr. Nesantia writes like this, and he says that the Hellas Yankee, Asher Avot, there is a Gemara in Brochus, but the Gemara comments on the Pasuk in Zidri Maiseh, that the farmer says, And Erev Pesach of the fourth year, and Erev Pesach of the seventh year, when he gives away all the Yaitiyah Kodesh and Abayit, etc., he gives everything away. And then he says, Asisi Koshat, Kirisani Lash, Vavatan, and Mr. Sekhav Alash Achachti. So the Mishnah in Mazisheni interprets every phrase of the Pasuk, what is he referring to? It says, Lash Achachti, Lash Achachti, Milavarechacho, Milahachti Shimcha. I didn't forget to recite the Bracha over the Hafrashat Shumat tonight. The rebellion is rocky in the commentary on Chumash and Rashi. He's bothered with the Kasha. What do you mean? That's shot in the Pasuk. Lash Achachti, Milavarechacho, Milahachti Shimcha, Malpishcho, Ashimcho. Why has Machelzim in each and a Malchot, Hashem is enough. I didn't forget to recite the Brach over our Prashat Shumas tonight. It's the Brach on our Prashat Shumas is only the Rabbanon. What is the part to say? You have to say a Brach. That's what it means. It's only an Asmachta. How can it be? So some give a whole interpretation. I think the Malbim has a whole interpretation that when you mafish Shuma, it's a separate Allah, you have to mention Shem Shemaim in conjunction with our Prashat Shumas. So that's why the Zmana Gemara, the Talmud Yishami, for Zmana Tanayin Amarayim, when they were mafish Shuma, they mafish Chala, he used to say, Harei Zetrum Al Hashem Al HaKol. They used to mention Shem Shemaim and the Kri Hashem. Harei Zetrum Al Hashem Al HaKol, they would say, Bishat HaFrashat Truma, Bishat HaFrashat Kala. And then the Malbim says that in later generations, when the Tanoim instituted the Birchat HaMitzvah, and Hashem Nes HaGdol was on the start of Birchat HaMitzvah, so then it was no longer necessary to mention Harei Zetrum Al Hashem. You have to mention the Shem Shemaim and the Kri Hashem, because they already mentioned Shem Shemaim in the Bracha in conjunction with HaFrashat Truma. So the Zman Hazer, the women just say Harei Zechala, Harei Zechuma. You know the Bible is saying Harei Zechuma Hashem, because they say the Bracha on HaFrashat Truma. Difficult. What does the Gemara have a Machlokes Amaroyim? Whether Bracha requires Shem or Malchus, Hashem is enough. So the Gemara says those are the two readings in this Braisa. When it says Lashachachti, Lavatim, and Mitzrech, Lashachachti. So, what is the correct use in the Braisa? Lashachachti, Malahat, Shimcha, Malchuscha, Olaf? Or just Lashachachti, Malahat, Shimcha? If you all that all you need is Shem, then just Lashachachti, Malahat, Shimcha. If you all that a Bracha needs Shem and Malchus, so then the correct reading in the Braisa should be Lashachachti, Malahat, Shimcha, Malchuscha. If you say that part, the saying of the Bracha, that's only the Rabbana. So, what's the din there, right? So, just to mention Shem Shemaim in conjunction with Kri Hashem of Truma. So why should that be totally in the Machlokes Amaroyim, where the Bracha needs Malchus? The same Machlokes applies to HaFrashat Truma, where HaFrashat Truma needs mention of Malchus. Why should HaFrashat Truma have the same Machlokes? What's the connection? What's the Tarash over? The Pashtus is not like that suggestion, like the Malbim has. The Pashtus is, we must talk about the Bracha and HaFrashat Truma. How can it be? And our Bracha needs Shem or Malchus. Either Shem or Shem or Malchus. How could it be that the Bracha and our Bracha's Tumas and Maasik is their Eise? But there are some Brachas that are their Eise. What Brachas are their Eise? Just some other is their Eise. Just a Torah is their Eise. Kiddush is their Eise. There are other Brachas that are their Eise. Just tell us. Yes, so some Achronim point out, yeah, it says in Sefer Shmuel. Shmuel HaNavi lived way before the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah when Mitzvah and all the Brachas. So he says to Shmuel, when Shaul lost the Atonis and he was searching for them, that he didn't know how to find them. So someone said, you go ask the Navi. The Navi will help him. So he asked, where do I find Shmuel our Navi? So he said, the girls met him. So he said, he's going to be in this city. So they're going to shech Kavanis. He's going to say a bracha. What bracha is he going to say? Shahakam Yilad Varek. A Hamaiti. He's going to first wash. So a lot of the Nefashim say, no, it's going to say a bracha. Shekirishanu, the Mitzvot, the Tivanu, and Achila Sazera. Then he said the Bracha Nachilat Kashi. And even though he lived before the days of Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, and it could be that most of the people didn't say Brachas at that time. They didn't say Hamaiti, they didn't say Shehakol, but the Bracha Al Achilat HaZevah, they did say. Manishtana the Bracha Nachilat HaZevah. That's what the Mishnah of Yankel suggests. And he says on Brachas in the Kohelet Yankel, he wants to say that Bracha, there was an ancient practice, there was always an ancient practice to recite Brachas in connection with mitzvahs that have to do with kedusha. Kiddush on Shabbos is the raisa. You're reciting a bracha in connection with the kedusha sayyad. Maybe the bracha sater is the raisa also because of the spirit in connection with the kedusha sater. And then a bracha in connection with korbanos, the yivarches hazeva. Maybe that was also, I don't know whether it's the raisa, but it was a very ancient meaning. It was a very old meaning that's recorded already in the days of Shmuel HaNavi. And the bracha on HaFrashat Truma, Truma and Asisheni have Kedusha. So that was always an ancient meaning. And the same thing, Birchat Erusin. So the Gemara says that when you get married, you say Haliyat Mekudeshesli, so that's a Lishna de Rabbanan, but we point that out, it's a Lishna de Rabbanan, but the concept behind it, the idea behind it is the concept de Raisa, that there is an Indian of Kedusha in marriage. So as such, because it's an Indian of Kedusha, maybe, that's what the Mishnah essentially suggests, maybe this ancient minig, not necessarily a din d'oraisa, this ancient minig, the Kedusha brachas in connection with matters that have to do with Kedusha, maybe that applied also to the Bichas Eretz. So that's why by Rochel as Rivka, the Medrash, the Masechet Kala understands that the Pasuk Samach has two different things. By Rochel as Rivka means they said the Bichas Eretz, and by Yom Elach HaSein Ata Yili Alta Nezobah, that's another thing. But by Rochel as Rivka doesn't mean they gave a blessing to Rivka, they gave a blessing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in connection with Rivka's marriage. And so alluding to the Bichas Eretz, an interesting idea what he has. It's a bichas eretz, and it's at this higher level of a bracha than other bichas on mitzvah, because it has to do with a matter of kedusha, like the bracha on hafrashas shuman, hafrashas ma'aseh. The pasuk continues to have a description of the way the first time Rivka met Yitzchak, he was in the middle of davening. Vayetzi Yitzchak lasuach b'ashrad, vayetzi Rivka shena, and she sees her husband davening. Chazal say lo tuach, ain't sticha ala tzilo, shenema, tzilo yami ki yatak, lifne Hashem yishpach sticha ala. So the Chazal had a tradition that Avram Avinu daven, they didn't have a tradition, it says on the Chumash, it was installed for today, so the Perishu daven. Yitzchak daven, Yankiv daven, Yovitz always daven, the Chazal even had a tradition that Adam Rishon daven. Rashi on the beginning of Parshas Bereishis, right on the Pasuk, v'chalshir ha-tzara kem yevoat, v'chalesh ha-tzara teret nitzmach, the Rashi has a comment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't cause the rain to come before he created Adam HaRishon, who would pray for the rain. So according to the Chazal, the tradition had it that Adam HaRishon was the first one who davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not Avraham, not Yitzchak and Yaakov. Adam HaRishon already prayed for rain, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants people to pray. He didn't bring the rain until he created Adam HaRishon, who would pray for the rain, and then he brought the rain. The Farshi says in Chayistara that when Eliezer was working on the Shidduch, he was mispalat to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see from that parasha that the one who is involved in a shidduch, those who are involved in a shidduch should be mispalat to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that should go right. There are more people getting divorced these days than anything than ever before. So in our generation, should certainly be mispalat that your shidduch should work out. So you don't fall in and it should be a lasting shidduch. Chazal comment on the pasuk in Tehillim, although it's mispalat to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the Chulay. So they say Leif Mitzol Zulisha. Leif Mitzol means a lot of things. But among the various things they refer to is that one should be Mitzalo regarding a Shidduch, that everything should go properly. The end of the Parsha, we have a very strange story that Avraham Avinu chases away all of his children. But he doesn't want them to have anything to do with Yitzchak. Vayishalchem yal Yitzchak b'no b'yadeno chai keidmo l'eretz Kedesh. He sent him away, just like he didn't want to send away Yishmael. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that kol asher tamei lach atzor eshma b'kolo. Yishmael will be a very great influence on Yitzchak. So when he heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that's what you have to do, so at the end of the Seder, he felt he has to do on his own like that. So he sends away all of the apilachim, that they shouldn't have a negative effect on Yitzchak. The theme of the Haferah is related, I think, to this part of the Seder. The theme of the Haferah is when David HaMelech is about to die, so he has to designate which of his many children, he had 18 wives, he has to designate which of his many children he's going to take over the Malukah. So there is sometimes an union of Yerusha. Usually a man dies, and everything is already, or you can get a printout on the computer, who gets how much Yerusha. It's dinner in Shulchan Aruch. If there's sons and daughters, if the sons and daughters don't get it, if they're only daughters, or who gets, and their grandchildren, and their cousins, and nephews, it's a simple question. Not so complicated at all. But once in a while, you have a case where the Yerusha can't be divided. Let's say the Malkus. So what are you going to say? He has a lot of children, so they'll divide the Malkus equally. You're going to have a government of 55 kings. It's not going to work. You have to pick one king. So they say, any kol Yisrael alecho, that David HaMelech has to pick who's going to be the king, and it says he picked Shlomo HaMelech. He chose that Shlomo should be the king. So finally, that was the story before the days of Yankov Avinu. Yankov Avinu was what we call Mitzvah Shlomo. All of his children were Jewish. And before the days of Yankov Avinu, it wasn't so. Not all of Avraham Avinu's children were Jewish. Not all of Yitzchak's children were Jewish. Only one of them. Yitzchak Torlech Ezer, Yitzchak Eloi Yishmael, and only the Yitzchak Eloi Kol Yitzchak, only Yaakov, and not Esau. And the Sefer HaKuzari points out that this idea was felt from the very beginning of time. He claims that there was an Inyan Hu'eliti, there was some kind of a Ruchni Zikir spirit that Adam Arishan had, that he knew he would not be able to transfer on, pass on to all of his children. He only transmitted the Inyan Hu'eliti to one of the children. And those are the children who are mentioned in the Chumash. He gave over the Inyan Hu'eliti to one of his married children, and he gave it over to one of his married children, until it went to Nut, until it went to Avram, then it went only to Yitzchak, not to Yishmael, then it went only to Yaakov, not to Esau. And then, from Yaakov on, everything is Yitzchak or Shlomo. So when the Ovoy had to determine which one of the children is going to get the Inyan Hu'eliti, who's going to get the Kedushas Yisrael, so this is the theme that the Haftarah shares in common with the Sedra, that in both, in the end of the Sedra, as well as in Haftarah, the Morish is determining who's going to get something of his Ruch music, who's going to get the Malchus, and who's going to get the Inyan Hu'eliti, that it doesn't just go with Hilchos Yerusha. Can't just apply plain Hilchos Yerusha. Chazal comment on the Haftarah in Masechet Sanhedrin, in the second Perek, that David HaMelech had already had 18 wives, and he needed a young girl to keep his body warm, so he's not permitted to marry a 19th wife. Le'yabal HaNoshim, 18 is the maximum. So he really should have divorced one of the wives and married a younger girl, so his problems would be taken care of. So none of them agreed to take a jet. None of the 18 wives agreed to take the jet. So he should have divorced one Bal Korcha. But he felt no. That to divorce Bal Korcha is a bigger Avera than to violate the Yisra of Yichud. Apparently, there was a suffix Sakhanath Nefashis, and he was an old man, he was chilly. He's going to die. Soon after this, other mouth is so old, he's going to die. So he wants to prolong his life for another couple of months, another couple of years. So he needed the begotten didn't help. He needed a Naira Tula, a younger girl. There was a shtikot pituach nefesh that it is whenever you have a suffix sakana. So the Gemara says, Machila Mosa Hatala Kalkila. The end of Yuma, the last parak in Yuma. The Gemara says, if a person has to eat some non-kosher food in order to save his life, and there are two types of non-kosher food on the table. One is the kigel, which has an Yitzhak Karif if you eat it, and one is Nevela from the A&P. Eat from the A&P that has an Yitzhak Lav, but it has no Yitzhak Karif. Or one is Chaleb, which has an Yitzhak Karif, and one is Nevela, Shefer, that only has an Yitzhak Lav. So the Gemara says you should eat Machila Mosa Akala Kalkila. Those give him the lesser Yitzhak. If that's enough to save his life, then let him not violate the Mohammed Yitzhak. If it's not enough, if the Vedic says it's not enough, you have no choice, then you have to go on and violate also the Mohammed Yitzhak. So apparently, this is a din that applies not only when you're eating Machovat Asurah to save your life, you have to take the lesser of the two evils. It applies in any situation of Pikuach Nefesh. If there are different ways to solve the problem, you have to try to solve the problem by violating the lesser evil. So the Gemara says over here, he had two options. Either he would divorce one of the wives, Bal Korcha. None of them wanted to get divorced. Like just to go around with the chauffeur and with the theater all the time, whatever. The priest, 18 priests. But he didn't want to divorce any of them, Bal Korcha. So he had a prayer. Either he's going to divorce one Bal Korcha and marry himself a younger girl, or he's going to violate the Yitzhak Yichud. So the Gemara says, yes, the Shaila. And the Shaklot, he tira lo l'dovid l'yachid v'lo he tira lo l'garish. They were martyred to David HaMelech, said he should rather violate Yichud. He was the one who instituted the Yisra Yichud by New York. Yichud on the Arayis, Yichud on an Eshishish, the other Arayis is an Yisra Derayis. But Yichud on the Pnu is only an Yisra Derabonim. So the Gemara says, he tira lo l'yachid v'lo he tira lo l'garish. That was considered the lesser of the two evils. Meaning there were other people around. What was the Yichud?
Why did you have to do that?
Well, he needed someone to keep him warm.
But why?
Well, certainly he had to have a young body to keep his body warm. His wives were older already. They were approximately the same age as him. So their bodies were not so warm. He needed a young
body.
The Pasuk says he was together with a single woman. So that's Yichud. Apparently not. Apparently not. Pasuk says that he wasn't born there, huh? The Hamelach lo yido'o. So the Gemara says in Masechet Sanhedrin, in the second parak, Hamelach lo yido'o is not because it is an old man and he no longer had the Kayak Gaza. No, Chazal say when Bathsheba came into the room, he was born there, Yudim Obiyoy. It's just that this wasn't his wife, that's why he wasn't born there. So the Chazal have this comment with the Yudim Obiyoy based on a pasuk here that has 13 words. So the Pasuk has 13 words, but the Gemara says the significance of the 13 words is that Bo Leha Yud Gimabir. So he still was the top friend, he was still had Tera Gavra, just that this wasn't his wife. Avishad Ashenamis was not his wife, he wasn't Bo Leha. So how do you count the 13 words? That's what they point out, I think, in the name of his own design. If you count the 13 words, you see that Bas Sheva counts as one word. There's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch when a girl's name is Bas Sheva, do you write it with a space in between? Let's say Tuba, I guess, whatever the story happens to be. Do you write it with a space in between or not with a space in between? Like Ben Tion, also such a shot. Ben Tion is one word or two words. So they quote from his own design that the Pasuk has, the Chazal say that there are 13 words in. Batavai, Bat Sheva is one, El, Hamelach, Achazav, Hamelach, Zotim, Yod, Babishat, Hashanam, Ismishorat, Es Hamelach, Es Bat Sheva is two words, and then it's 14. So keep from Chazal, but they understood that Bat Sheva is one word.
For those type of issues, why don't we look at Bat Sheva as the word in
Chumash?
She
writes it.
She writes
it. Got to look in Achrayim, they have a discussion. Sometimes it depends on the way the person spells it, and sometimes not. If the person is an Am Ha'aretz and he spells it wrong, then we ignore what he does. But it's not an issue of Am Ha'aretz. You can do it like this, you can do it like this. All right, there's much way to talk right. So they're both equally pretty good. So then you should follow what the person writes. Yeah. Some of this whole discussion is if the girl never writes her name herself, but Ben Tina. If the guy writes Ben Tina with a long name, obviously it's Ben Tina. If he writes with a short name, Ben Tina writes it. Obviously it's one word. So if the guy is literate and he writes, so it depends on the way he writes in some. If he never signs his name, never signs a check, never signs his name, so then we have the discussion. How do we write them to you? So.
It was the same thing applies
if you have something like that. If a woman
or
something
in one way, let's say in a study, and the woman is not speaking Russian, so you switch them to two or something.
Yeah, sometimes it ever does, and Hilchashem is Gittin, in the middle of Hilchashem, they discuss. Sometimes it depends on sometimes the spelling depends on the pronunciation. Right? Soloveitchik or Soloveitchik. If it's Soloveitchik, then you put 2 years, Soloveitchik, you put 1 year. According to the conventional spellings in Shulchan Aruch. They have other brainer. A lot of times it depends on whether the person is from Galicia, from Poland. It depends on the pronunciation, how you're going to spell them in. Sometimes it doesn't depend on the pronunciation. There are a lot of details there in Shulchan Aruch. Part of the consideration when you have, let's say, Machina Mosa, Akala, Kalchila, part of the consideration should be also what is the Nimut. You don't just say what the Halacha is, you have to say what looks proper and what seems to be improper. Sometimes there are things that are permissible, but it looks like they're improper. Some things that are, there are things that, yeah. The Maharsha has such a comment, and Yuma and Daf Kofcheh, We started with the Kasha. The Gemara in Yom Adab Kalkes has the same comment that it is in the end of Kedushin, the Rish Mishnah Kedushin. It says, Kema Ramzin Kalatel Kula, Achelai Mishno. The Ramzin kept all the mitzvahs before the Torah was given. He volunteered, the Torah came into the years. So the Mashur is part of the Kasha. Hazoi, gee, true. The Akam married Hoga HaMitzvah. There's a lucky not allowed to marry a mitzvah, Darishan Darshani. So Shlishi Yavalai Mikal Hashem. But mitzvah that day, the Darishan Darshani, you're not allowed to marry. So how come he married Hagar HaMitzvah? That's his cash. Okay, the end of the Seder, it says that Surah was Hagar. Rashi quotes from the Medrash Rabba, Surah is Hagar. That was he allowed to marry Hagar HaMitzvah. So the Mashah suggests that, so the Guraliya says, Maram Yitzhak says on Chumash and later in Vayishlach, he says that the Kim of Hen Kalatil Kalashman Yitzhak is only on the Mitzvah Tet and not on the Mitzvah Tet. There is no such thing as volunteering not to violate an Aver with Torah Tanim to the Yid. There's only a Kiyum and a Mitzvah Tzatzei. So on a Mitzvah, it makes sense to volunteer with Torah Tanim to the Yid. You can't volunteer not to violate a Loisek. That's his answer. But the Mashur and others told not that the Ramban is bothered with the Kasha. How come Yankel Adina married two sisters? Something that the Torah is going to prohibit later. So the Maram Yitzhak gives his answer. Two sisters is an Isra, it's not a Mitzvah. But the Ramban is bothered with the Kasha. The Ramban and the Mashur and many others have told that Kimu Hover, Kolot HaKul Ashlein Mitzna, refers equally both to the Mitzvah Tessay and to the Mitzvah Shlo Tessay. So that's why the Mashur has this Kasha. How did he marry a Mitzvah? So he gives different answers. So the Mashur has a fascinating answer in the Chedush HaGadon, Yom Adav Kavchet. So later Achrayim quotes and discusses at length. He has premise number one that Kimu Hover, Kolot HaKul Ashlein Mitzna is only after he performed Brit Mila. Before he performed this mitzvah, is Gnei Nagoy. So what does make sense that a Goy should volunteer the Torah came into the earth? And this is, after he was given the mitzvah mila, then he was Yat Mechlal Ben Inerch and became Yisrael. Then it's asked to discuss. He wasn't mitzvah, then it's asked to discuss. That's like a woman volunteers to Ben Shesrig and to listen to Tia. So it makes sense that Avram should volunteer to keep on it. So he says that the first time that he married, when he married Hagar, HaMitzvah, that was before he had the Brit Mila. Hi, but after he got the Brit Mila, so why did he stay with Hagar HaMitzvah? Should have gotten rid of her. And at the end of the Seder, it says that he married Keturah, and Rashi quotes from the Bereshit Rabba that this was Hagar. So the Mashur says, look here, we're talking about a person volunteering a Midas Chassidus, the Torah Tanim and Tzuvah V'Yosef, that he should volunteer not to marry a Mitzvah. But he was living with a woman already, he was married with a woman. So why should divorce her? I should volunteer a Midas Chassidus and divorce my wife. No, is that Terech Eretz? Very nice to volunteer Midas Chassidus and not on someone else's expense. He wants to be a tzaddik. Maybe she's not interested in volunteering. He says that Hagar is interested in volunteering. That the mitzvah to convert is also not allowed to marry a Yisrael. He says that she's interested in volunteering. So that's what the Mashur says. If you're in Chesed to be a tzaddik and to volunteer to do a mitzvah chassidus is not proper. And even at the end of the Seder, he had already been separated from Hagar for a long time. And then he remarried Hagar. So hi, this is already after the Brit Mila. The Mashur holds also not. He needed another wife. His wife had passed away. Sarah passed away in the beginning of Parshas Chayitza. So he needed another wife. What, he's going to go marry someone else? And his first wife is right there. Hagar HaMitzvah is right there around the corner. And he's going to turn her down because she's a mistress. And now that he has a Brit Mila, now that he's Jewish, he volunteers to meet a chassidus not to violate the din of mitzvah. But Mashur says that wasn't min hamimut. That's part of the calculation also. If you want to volunteer the Torah Tanim to perform mitzvah, or not to violate Averis, you have to keep in consideration what is minamimus. To do something that's improper is a bigger Averis than to do the whole Midas Chassidus.
You must go with Midas.
That's what he thinks. The other answers are given. Other Rishayim give other answers on the question. That's what the Mashur suggests. It says that mimus also has to be taken into consideration when you're figuring out hakal hakal kula. When you're figuring out something has to give, you got to do something over here. So you have one concern is the mitzvah chassidus, then you have another significant concern should be what's meant on mimus. A lot of times yeshiva brachim don't keep that in mind. So I used to learn gemara in Shulchan Aruch, so we forget about what's considered proper and improper. So the Hilge Mashur says, we've got to keep that in mind too. That Chavit Kodmah Rasa is also important. The Pasuk mentioned regarding each one of the Imohis how attractive they were. So Lechera, the Pasuk is teaching us, what is that picture? It's teaching us that when you marry a girl, you should make sure that she should be good looking. That doesn't mean that she should be good looking, she should be a movie star. You don't marry the movie star. She should be good looking, she should be pleasant to the eye. And beauty is a thing that depends on each person. So you don't have to ask your roommates. You don't have to ask all the guys in the dormitory whether they consider the girl good looking. If the boy considers the girl good looking, that's good enough. If he doesn't consider her good looking, then the mashmaut is that you should marry her. But good looking shouldn't be with a goyish perspective of good looking. They're just trying to get more people to watch their movies. They're not really depicting what a happy marriage. Those people in the movies are not necessarily happily married at all. I don't think any of them are happily married. Most of them are not married, and those who are married are not happily married. They're always getting divorced. So that kind of beauty we don't need. And it doesn't mean the beauty what the other boy thinks is good looking. Each person, whatever he feels is good looking, is enough. But it's important for the marriage that the boy should find a girl, and the girl should find a boy also good looking. Otherwise, it'll be a problem later on. Abish Melech Binevah writes in his Sefer Derech Pikudecha that taking an attractive wife is an inyan of either mitzvah. He says that since it's a mitzvah to get married and the wife is a chetz b'shal mitzvah, so therefore you have to have a pretty esrog, you have to have a tzitzis noir, a tefillin noir, a sefer Torah noir, a chachena b'shirayim noir, even having a nice mantle around the sefer Torah also. But he writes that that's why the Torah mentions, he doesn't say because of the Shalom Bayit. The Gemara tends to say like that. So the Gemara says, Isha no, Dira no, Taylor noin. A person has a pleasant looking wife and he has a pleasant home. The guy's going to live in a dirty, dingy apartment and he's going to have broken chairs and broken tables and he's going to eat stale bread and water. He may not necessarily be a happy person. He may succeed in being a happy person, but probably not. The Gemara says you have to have achavas adas to be in a happy mood. So the Gemara seems to have understood perhaps the mashmas of the psukim. The psukim say how attractive Sarah, Rivka, and Rachel Belea were to indicate that the others had a achavas adas. They could think straight because they had comfortable conditions. They had a pleasant looking wife and pleasant home and so on. But the Derech Pikudecha understands it differently. He says it's a halachic consideration. She has to be pretty in order to fulfill the inyan of either mitzvah. What choice does he have?